KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9 o'clock, we have partly cloudy to cloudy skies, 69 degrees here in Atlantic, looking for a high of 85. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. In Western Iowa news, no charges are expected to be filed after some residents in Pottawatomie County took matters into their own hands by blowing up a levee to get Missouri River floodwater off of private property and farmland. County Attorney Matt Wilbur says the breach was a surprise, to say the least.
We had a group of citizens that intentionally breached one of the basically private levees up at the northwest corner of the county, first mechanically and then with explosives.
His main concern was the amount of water released back into the already flooded Missouri River would impact many others in Iowa and Nebraska downstream.
We saw a rise in the river by about 3 or 4 inches as a result, we believe, of that breach.
Wilbur says the water quickly receded, though, and no criminal charges will be filed as they used a licensed explosive expert to blow the levee, which was located on private property. Matt Wilbur says if they had damaged other property, the landowners could have faced other charges.
If any private property or other property is damaged as a result of this, if you change the flow or velocity of water going downstream off of your property to the detriment of others, you can be held civilly liable.
He says there was a lot of confusion when the incident happened on Friday. Authorities in Harrison County were notified of the intentional breach, but no one informed those in Pottawatomie County. Wilbur says a lot of concern and panic could have been avoided had they made that call. The Red Cross has opened a 24-hour shelter in Council Bluffs to help people affected by the flooding along the Missouri River. Red Cross officials said the clinic opened Tuesday evening at the First Assembly of God Church in Council Bluffs. The shelter will provide meals, minor first aid, referrals, and a safe place to stay. Officials say other shelters remain on standby in counties along the river in both Iowa and Nebraska. U.S. Senator Tom Harkin is urging Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack to approve crop disaster relief for Western Iowa in the wake of flooding along the Missouri River. Harkin made his plea in a letter to Vilsack, who you may know is a former Iowa governor. Harkin says a secretarial disaster designation would provide money from USDA programs, emergency loans, and supplemental revenue assistance payment programs to help producers recover from loss of crops and damage to farmland, livestock facilities, and buildings. Designated counties would include Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Monona, Pottawatomie, and Woodbury. Governor Branstad has recently begun the process to secure a disaster designation. Governor Branstad is set to visit 3 flood-damaged towns in the western part of the state. Branstad and Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management Administrator Brigadier General Derek Hill are set to visit with local officials in Blencoe, Missouri Valley, and Pacific Junction today. Branstad's office also says that the Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management Division, FEMA, the Small Business Administration, and county officials will begin to conduct assessments in 6 counties today. Governor Branstad on Tuesday announced the names of the individuals he has appointed to Iowa's various boards and commissions, and they include from Western Iowa, James Graham of Council Bluffs to the Iowa Arts Council, Angela Hance of Creston to the Early Access Council for Children and Families, Daniel Riddle of Stewart to the State Historical Records Advisory Board, Frank Hermson of Carroll to the State Historical Society of Iowa Board of Trustees, Wayne Phipps of Glenwood to the Preserves Advisory Board, Jerry Mathiason of Council Bluffs to the Terrace Hill Commission, Sherry Clark of Red Oak to the Vocational Rehabilitation Council, and Gina Schokenmeyer of Council Bluffs to the Iowa Commission on Volunteer Service. The members of Iowa's boards and commissions are appointed by the governor, and state law requires most boards and commissions to be balanced by gender, political affiliation, geographic location, and diversity. Officials at the Iowa Department on Aging says several community conversations will take place across the state this summer to give people an opportunity to understand the aging network and the IDA an opportunity to understand the concerns you might have with regard to aging. The meetings, appropriately entitled A Conversation on Aging Issues, will also offer an opportunity to discuss HF 45, a legislative mandate to reduce the number of area agencies on aging. Everyone's welcome to partake in the conversation at meetings scheduled to take place locally here in Atlantic, also in Creston and Carroll. The meeting in Atlantic will be held July 28th from 12:30 p.m. to 2 p.m. at Iowa Western Community College, and later that same day in Creston from 5 until 6:30 p.m. The session in Carroll will be held August the 4th from 12:30 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carroll Chamber of Commerce. And for more information, you can call 1-800-532-3213 or email aging.conversations@iowa.gov. Well, it appears that the state tax receipts for the just concluded fiscal year were slightly better than predicted. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
The state fiscal year ended June 30th. An initial report from the Legislative Services Agency indicates cash receipts for that 12-month period were $54.5 million above expectations. State tax receipts grew by 6% in the year-to-year comparison. Personal income tax payments to the state grew by 7% for the fiscal year, while sales tax collections increased by nearly 4%. The final analysis on net revenue for the 12-month-long state fiscal year will not be available until the end of September. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Republican Congressman Steve King and Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann have been close allies in Congress, but King's not ready yet to endorse Bachmann's bid for the White House. He says the candidate he publicly endorses, Bachmann included, has to prove to him that they have earned the support of voters.
You could take the best raw material, the person that's got the best talented gifts to be president of the United States, and pluck them out of whatever walk in life it might be and put them in the Oval Office, and they would not be near the president for us that they will be once they go through this crucible of the nominating and the election process.
According to King, one important proving ground for Bachmann and the rest of the candidates is the Iowa Republican Party's straw poll in Ames on August the 13th. The last time around, King waited until just a couple of weeks before the 2008 Iowa caucuses to endorse Fred Thompson, a late entrance into that political race. Although the former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin is among the candidates who are still mulling a late entrance in 2012, King is skeptical that there will be a Palin-Bachmann alliance in the general election.
It's tough enough to get a woman on the ticket, let alone two women on the ticket. Let's put it that way. And I think men have a lot to offer, too, just being a guy.
King staged a news conference in at a Des Moines hotel on December 17, 2007, to announce he was endorsing Fred Thompson's bid for the White House. He said this time around that he wants to make his endorsement earlier in the campaign, but he will not make his choice public before the August straw poll. Republican presidential candidate Tim Pawlenty is naming the daughter of the 2008 Iowa caucus winner Mike Huckabee to help lift his own effort ahead of a key test of strength in Iowa. Pawlenty's campaign says Sarah Huckabee Sanders begins her as a former Minnesota governor senior advisor for the state's Republican straw poll. She began her job yesterday. The August 13th event at the Iowa State University is seen as a test of strength for Republican presidential candidates. Now, Pawlenty has spent a year and a half meeting Iowa Republicans and building a circle of top Iowa consultants, but registered only 6% in a recent Iowa poll. Sanders was Huckabee's 2008 national political director. Huckabee finished second in the August straw poll that year and surged to win the caucuses. Elsewhere in local news, the Audubon County Sheriff's Department said yesterday an Anita man was charged with possession of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. Those charges filed against 27-year-old Robbie Troy Matheny stem from a traffic stop on July the 3rd. Matheny was scheduled to appear in court tomorrow morning. And 36-year-old Angela Marie Weaver of Exira was arrested Saturday evening following a traffic stop on Highway 71 near 310th Street. The Sheriff's Department says Weaver was charged with OWI first offense. She posted a $1,000 cash bond and was released from custody. She's also scheduled to appear in court tomorrow. Police in Atlantic on Tuesday reported three people were arrested over the 4th of July holiday weekend. 23-year-old Joseph Fredrickson of Atlantic was arrested Saturday on charges which included interference with official acts, public intoxication, and assault on a peace officer. That same day, 24-year-old Jeffrey Knight of Atlantic was arrested for fifth-degree theft. And on Monday, 21-year-old Darnell Coleman of Atlantic was arrested for a domestic abuse assault. All three men were booked into the Cass County Jail. A federal judge in Wyoming has sentenced a Western Iowa man to serve 15 years in prison for production of child pornography. U.S. District Judge Alan B. Johnson on Tuesday sentenced 30-year-old Gabriel Simmons of Onawa. Simmons pleaded guilty in April in exchange for prosecutors dropping three other related charges against him. He had posed as an employee of a modeling agency and persuaded a Wyoming teenager to send him sexually explicit images of herself over the Internet. Prosecutors say Simmons had threatened to send those photos to the girl's family and school if she didn't continue to send them more. And then the 14-year-old girl contacted law enforcement last July. Simmons apologized in court Tuesday, saying he was sorry for the pain, confusion, and embarrassment that he caused the girl. And an Iowa Interstate Railroad official who doubts a train passed over a teenager in downtown Des Moines who was passed out between the rails, leaving him with only minor injuries. Mick Burkhart, the railroad's chief operating officer, says there's about 10 inches of clearance between a locomotive and railroad ties. That's very little space for someone to lie safely beneath the rails. However, 17-year-old Christian Michael Latshaw told police that's what happened Sunday night. He says he was drunk and passed out only to awake under the train. Train engineers saw someone on the tracks, but they couldn't see what happened. Burkhart says that it's more likely that Latshaw stood up and was knocked clear of the train. Latshaw was treated for head cuts and thigh bruises. Taking a look at national news headlines of this hour, the U.S. government is warning airlines that some terrorists are considering surgically implanting explosives into humans to carry out attacks. Now, there's no intelligence pointing to a specific plot, but the U.S. has shared that information with executives at domestic and international carriers. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration says that people traveling to the U.S. from overseas may experience additional screening at airports. The Dallas Cowboys are getting some super-powered support. Marvel Comics' heroes are throwing in with the Cowboys as the publisher's parent, Marvel Entertainment LLC, expands its efforts to bring the characters into the world of professional sports. Debuting today, the five-time Super Bowl champion Cowboys will offer apparel from T-shirts to caps that feature Spider-Man, Thor, and Captain America, among others. On Wall Street, the stocks were mixed early on in trading today following a broad sell-off in Europe. Moody's downgraded Portugal's debt to junk status late Tuesday, and that raised fresh concerns about the European financial system. The Euro Stoxx 50, which is an index of companies and countries that use the euro, lost nearly 1%. Now, investors are scheduled to receive a report later today on the U.S. service sector. Economists expect the Institute for Supply Management's index expanded in June, although at a slower pace than in May. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is down a little more than 5 points. The S&P 500 is down just a little more than 4 points. And the NASDAQ is down about 7.5 points. Taking a look at the funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN. 81-year-old Mary Beth Rodericus of Harlan died Saturday. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Rodericus will be held today at 10:30 at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 70-year-old Keith Cabbage of Bridgewater died Sunday. Funeral services for Keith Cabbage will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Trinity Christian Church in Bridgewater. Steen Funeral Home at Fontenelle has arrangements. 73-year-old Ross Martison of Elkhorn died Friday. Funeral services for Ross Martison will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. 77-year-old John Henry Query, Jr. of Erling died Friday. A massive Christian burial service for John Henry Query, Jr. will be on Thursday at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. 91-year-old Mildred Millie Peterson, a longtime resident of Atlantic, died Monday. Funeral services for Millie Peterson will be this Saturday at 10:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And 98-year-old Lawrence Verrath of Greenfield died May the 30th. Memorial services for Lawrence Verrath will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. The Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield is in charge of the arrangements. And that is a check of our news this morning here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.